Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Today, we are going inside episode 90, titled Book Study, 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos by Jordan Peterson, Part 1. So I've got David here with me. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great, BT. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So in today's episode, you started a series around Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos. Fantastic title there. I think what we want to start with is, what about this book resonates so strongly with you?
Well, it's interesting because I've read both of his books, Maps of Meaning, which was his first book, came out in 1999, and then 12 Rules for Life just came out this year, I think. It was either in 18 or 19 it came out, but it's just been come out. I've actually was introduced to him by watching his stuff on the internet first. So I've been going through his lectures, watching all of his interviews. He's a very interesting person. I happen to be a fan. I think that I really agree with almost everything that he says. There's a few things that I have questions about, but more from a place of, like, I just don't know. And he obviously knows more in those areas than I do. So, but I have a few areas that I have questions about, but I really don't have a major issue with what it is that he's talking about. But to answer your, I know this is kind of a long-winded way of answering your question, but what I saw, it started off really with me watching what he was doing and asking the question, like, what is this guy doing? What is he doing? Because he's getting a lot of heat politically, right? And he didn't start out to do that. He didn't have an agenda, not that I can find anywhere. He was just teaching. And in his teaching, he got involved in something in Canada that was going on with Canadian law and transgender issues up there, and language. And he was basically defending language and how language should be used and the reason why we use language and, you know, all the scientific and psychological and research behind it and freedom of speech and all that stuff. And I think that's what kind of fired him off in a political direction, which, again, he didn't – if you really watch it, because it's on the internet, you could watch the court hearings. He was there as an expert in this field and to give his honest opinion on what he thought about them changing the use of language in Canada, which is a very dangerous thing anywhere because freedom of speech is something that we cherish so much. It gives us our right to argue or debate, you know, different things. So it was really interesting to watch him. But then I heard about his book and I was like, I really want to read that book. But again, like I talk about in the podcast, I'm not a rules person. I don't even really like the word rules. You know, it's just a thing from my childhood. But not to the point where I wouldn't actually read the book. And then I started getting into it. And I have to say that even listening to Peterson, I did not expect him to go to the places that he went in this book. He makes some very interesting arguments, but it was really the idea of an antidote to chaos that grabbed me in the title, not so much the 12 Rules for Life. Because I think chaos right now is a very fascinating word for the way that the world is currently. Not that we haven't had chaos in the world before, but we definitely have an extraordinary amount in the world and also in – so you've got the outside world, but then you have the individual lives of people. There seems to be a lot of chaos in those places also. And then there's the chaos that's created by how fast technology is moving forward. So when I saw that, kind of like all of that dropped in for me and I was like – this is interesting. I really want to get into this book. So that's what it was.
Yeah, I think that's great. This is what I love about what you do with these books, because, you know, just looking across the table from you, looking at that book, it's not something that would necessarily draw me in. I'm with you, rules. I'm a rule follower, you know, which is maybe a little opposite from what you are.
Yeah.
But when I see that word, I feel it's constricting. So I look at that book and I think to myself, okay, I'm not going to be able to open this book. And then you open it and you don't just read it, you study it. And we've talked about this on here before. You dive in head first and you go through it not once, not twice, sometimes 10 times, and you're pulling things out every single time. And I really love that about you, especially with this one, because would you agree this is some pretty heady material? I mean, this isn't surface stuff. This is going pretty deep.
There's absolutely no question about it. I was talking to Steph about this, and I said, have you got into any of Peterson's work yet? And she's like, no, it's on my list, because I'm always giving her stuff. Like, sure. She has a hard time keeping up with how much I tell her to read. But I remember when I studied Thomas Troward and the Edinburgh Dory Lectures and all of Troward's work. And Troward is a real tough read. And Peterson, now that I've listened to him for a while, I got it down pretty well. But I found myself going like, oh, shit. This guy's an intellectual, and I haven't heard somebody speak like this for quite some time. I had to really tune up my brain again to be able to take in everything he was reading. And I mean, quite frankly, I mean, he's got a lot of language in here. There's things eventually I had to even look up to see, what the hell does that word mean? I haven't, you know, either I don't remember what it meant or I never knew what it meant. Sure. But in either case, he's a very intelligent human being, and he speaks very intelligently, and he's very grammatically correct, so to speak, in what it is that he's doing. And you can see when you get into it the depth of the knowledge and the study and the work that he's put into his craft as an author and a professor.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. So in the episode, you talked about your own two rules. So you talked about don't quit and always find a way. How did you adhere to those two rules to get to where you are today?
Well, that's interesting also, because that, you know, of course you're going to be challenged. Like the moment, like you remember when you said you find it constricting, right? I kind of find it constricting myself. Like, oh shit, now I got to do this. Right.
Sure, sure.
When I did that, it was maybe I set a third rule on top of it, which was don't let anything interfere with the first two. I would say that I did. I set a third rule, which was don't let anything interfere with the first two. And I really kept everything in such order that anything that came into my life that would interfere with those rules, I became militant about. I mean, literally militant. That would be the word that I would use. There were experiences that I wanted to have. There were theories that I was also testing at the same time based on what I was learning, and I needed answers and I needed results. So there were, you know, I was raising four children at the time also, so it's interesting because there were a lot of things that came into my life that were very distracting, and some of them I had to handle from a responsibility perspective. So I used my calendar tremendously to get things done. I moved things based on urgency, but I would not allow anything to come into my life that would disrupt me from getting something done. It was going to get done one way or another, period. That's it.
That's great. Yeah, I think this helps me a lot too, because, you know, it's very easy. It's sometimes easier to quit than it is to keep moving forward, to be honest with you and transparent. I think a lot of people, whether it's in business or fitness or exercise or whatever it might be, it's sometimes easier to just stop doing what you're doing. And I think the way you're framing this for me is I just say next. Like if I get to a place where I'm tired, worn down, and you just feel like stopping, I just say next and I do the thing anyway. Because if you do the thing, what you're doing is, you know, you're wiring your brain to remember that moment. Yeah, it sucks, but you do it and you're going to feel a whole lot better. And I'm kind of likening it to exercise at the moment because that's what's up for me.
Yeah.
It's like you got to just keep going. So don't quit, always find a way. Those are two very important rules. And then, of course, the third one you just threw upon us there, you know, don't let anything get in the way of the first two. I think that's freaking genius and only something you get on the Inside the Episode, because that third rule was not mentioned in the regular episode. So I think I like that, a little tease there. All right, let's close out with this. You had mentioned a sentence that I thought was really powerful, and it was, the question we should ask ourselves: what in my life is not working the way I want it to, and why? That is hugely powerful, and it does require a strong sense of self and ability to be vulnerable and honest with yourself. So how do those listening to this begin to answer that question? What in my life is not working the way I want it to, and why? How do the people get to the place of, I'm going to sit down and really answer this question right now?
You know, I think that Peterson addresses this. I don't remember if he addressed that in this book or not. It was something I was listening to. No, I don't think it was. I actually think it was his lecture on Jacob's Ladder that I was listening to. That's where I heard him mention this. He said something that I had to stop and I listened to it a couple of times. The way that he explained this, it, basically what he was saying was that, you know, if you are a person where you have to do something that you don't want to do, especially if it's a large task, like it's studying or, you know, a really big project or something, he's like, it's going to be a bear to get yourself to do it. You're going to fight with yourself. You're going to be miserable. It's going to be more complicated because you're not going to retain things. You're going to forget things. Like, your mind is really going to mess with you in a huge way. He said, but if you find something that you're interested in doing, and then he did this whole interesting teaching on being interested in things. He said that it's different because just the fact that you're interested makes it easier. So I remember, and people have heard me tell the story many times of when I had a person come up to me when I had a question about why I wasn't getting the result I wanted. He said to me, because you don't want it bad enough. And I stormed off like a petulant child, but came back around to the idea that he was right about that. I think this is the same thing. I think a person has to want to sit down and say, hey, I don't like, you know, and here's the thing. For everybody that's listening to this, it doesn't matter where your life is, right? I mean, I'm not saying that in a way like I'm not caring, but we have people listening to this and their lives are a damn mess, what we're teaching is helping. We also have people where, you know, their lives are functioning pretty well, but it's not the way that they could have it, or they want more. So it's with either case, no matter what end of the spectrum that you fall on, you have to ask yourself, do I really want to do it? Do I really want to make the change? And then start looking at, well, if the answer is yes, what do you want to change it to? But what we're going to get into here as we go further into Peterson's book is how he really gets into the psychology around when you change yourself, you change everything. Because you're creating your world. So, you know, it's like the old saying, wherever you go, there you are, right? So right. I think it's really coming from a place of, do you want to? You know, I can't make you want to. You and I have talked many times about you can't coach desire, you know, from the Prefontaine right. movie. Right. And, you know, I just think that it's an absolute, for whatever reason, that one part of our growth is very, very much an inside job. You know, anybody could give us a pep talk. We could have a friend or a parent or a colleague talk to us and be like, hey, you're screwing up. You know, you're better than this, whatever. But until we want to change, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, people dig in. We see this all the time at events. People come around event after event, and they go up to the mic, and they ask the same questions, and they're dealing with the same stuff, and they don't like what they're doing, and they want to make a change. You provide them an opportunity, and they don't take it. So I think you're right. It is a complete and total inside job, and it's, you know, it's hardcore truth time. You know, look in the mirror and ask yourself, is this something I want to be, do, or have? And if it's not, then make the decision and burn the ships and move forward through it. So if something in your life is not working the way you want it to, ask yourself the question today, what you're going to do to change it, and then keep tuning into the Successful Mind podcast, and we'll help you through it. I think that's what I say. All right. Well, David, thanks for walking us through 12 Rules for Life. We're very excited to be into this series. We've got several more episodes that are coming up.
It's going to get good.
It's going to get really good. So we're super excited about that. So, all right. Until the next time, everyone, be sure to send us those questions, tsm@davidnagel.com. And then, of course, we'd love to hear your feedback at speakpipe.com/David Nagel. Thanks so much, David.
Bye.
listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.